2 or 3 weeks ago, I'm not sure when we started Joshua, we talked about how God called Joshua to be the leader, told Joshua, be strong, very courageous, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed, the Lord is with you. Just over and over and over, God reassured Joshua, hey, you're fine, I'm in control, let's go, lead these people. So today we're in chapter 2. It's where Joshua is going to send spies into the promised land again. But let's look, let's start in verse 3 and read down to verse 14. And then we'll pray and then we'll break down each verse. Joshua chapter 2, verse number 3. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house. For they become to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out, whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords, and as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites, and were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Let's pray. Dear Father, please help us now. Help us to see your word, to see what you have for us. Please help me. Please control my thoughts. Please control my words. Please speak to me now. Please work in all of our hearts and all of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, what's going on in this chapter? We know the story of Rahab, or at least I think we do. I had an ethics and etiquette class in college. Was it okay for Rahab to lie? You know, that was the final summary of our class. Answer that question, which I'm not going to answer today. But it was like a 5-page paper on that question. But today, verse number 1, we'll see where Joshua sends some spies into the land to check it out. Joshua 2, verse 1, and Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. So, Joshua is now sending out spies to check out the land. Do you think that made Joshua nervous at all? Remember his experience with being a spy? 12 men went to spy out Canaan, 10 were bad, 2 were good. Remember that? That was his past experiences. And now he's sending spies again. They're right on the border again, ready to go in the promised land. Do you think maybe he was a little nervous, like, man, what if they come back and give a bad report? You know, here we go again, wandering in the wilderness. The last time, you know, it almost got him killed. The people said, hey, let's stone Joshua and Caleb because they recommend that we go in, and we don't think so. So the people wanted to kill him with stones, right? That's his history. So now he's to the spot where he's now the guy sending in spies to a land God has already promised them.
I'm guessing he chose the spies wisely. Wouldn't that be a fair assessment? That's kind of a big deal, spies going into the land. You want them to have the right report coming out. So he sent the spies in the land to scout out the land for military purposes. It's not like Joshua is doubting, can God give us the land? He already said that a long time ago. But they would send in spies to check out military advantages. It just makes sense to see what's going on so you know how to respond and react. Also in the verse, I don't know if you caught where, and they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Of all the places, they go to a harlot's house. Seems interesting. Some assumptions. Maybe it was inconspicuous for two visitors to come into the town. You know, that's a place where they could go. The location, it was on the wall of the city. Remember, she let they go out the window. Or maybe it was just God's will. So anyways, they end up at Rahab's house. Verse number 2, and it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. So the king finds out somehow, I don't know how, but there are spies in his city, there are spies in his town. They're checking stuff out so they can come destroy it. Verse number 3, and the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they become to search out all the country. So the king finds out they're spies. Then he makes it known to Rahab, hey, you know those guys at your house? They were spies. So, okay, what happens next? And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, there came unto me, but I wist not whence they were. So Rahab lies to the spies. She says, hey, they came here. They left. I don't know where they're at. Verse 5, and it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. So now her story starts to get good. Hey, I don't know where they went, but when it was about dark, they got out of here. You better go catch them. You better go find these guys. So now they're not interrogating her house. They're running looking for these spies. Verse number 6. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. Anybody ever just skipped over that? Why in the world does she have flax stalks on the roof of her house? Well, flax was fibers used for making linen. They were about 3 feet long. They were soaked. Then they were piled on a roof or flat surface to dry. So it's normal to have flax on your roof back then. You know, now some you got flax on your roof, there's going to be some questions. The HOA will not approve that, I'm sure. Verse number 7, and the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. Interesting to see the word fords in the Bible. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. The word fords in the Bible is a place where they would cross the river. But it's in there. Fords is in the Bible. Amen. So, they shut the gate, possibly to keep the spies in or out, or, you know, they shut the gates at night. It's a smart thing to do. And then they go to the ford. They try to find the place where, hey, this is where they would be. This is where they would have went. They're using their brains to try to find the spies. Verse number 8, and therefore they were, and before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. So the word laid down also carries with it the idea that they would have went to sleep. So they were up there hiding under flax. Before they fall asleep, Rahab is going to talk to them. Verses 9 through 11, I know we just read these, but we'll read them again. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. This is one of the enemy talking. Like, hey, we know, we've seen how big your God is. We've seen all the stuff he can do. And we're fainting. because of the power your God has. Verse 10, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. This is one of the people who should be against the spies. She's willing to risk her life. She's willing to take them in to protect them so that they can do their job. They're coming after her house. They're coming after her people, and she's willing to do all this. Why is she doing that? She has motives going on. But do you see what she recognizes? She recognizes how great God is, how powerful God is. She recognizes what God can do. So she knows, she sees what's coming. They've been scared from the stories they've been hearing. Sihon. You can find that story. That's one of the cities she referenced of being destroyed. You can find that story in Deuteronomy chapter 2 and in Numbers 21. They asked if they could pass through their land. They didn't want to use their resources. They just wanted to walk through their land. Sihon said no. Tried to fight them. Guess what happened? Israel won. Defeated them. Possessed their land. Og, Deuteronomy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. They tried to oppose. The same exact story. They defeated him and all he had. And the Bible says that there was 70 cities that were destroyed. 70 is a lot. That's 60. This is a nation just trying to wander, trying to get to the promised land, and God's winning battles for them. Battles they had no business winning. God's defeating the enemy, and they're just plowing through the land, making their way to the promised land. So, verse 11, we already read that. And she says, when we heard this, we knew it was over for us, and our hearts melted, our courage left us. They're in a walled city, big walled city, and their courage is gone. Because why? They saw the big things that God was doing. And she had a recognition of God also. She said, He is God of all. She had heard what God had been doing, and it caused her to recognize how big God was. Verse number 12. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token. So she's saying, hey, I've taken care of you. Please help me out when the battle comes down. Verse 13, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business, and it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. So they say, hey, our life for yours. We're making a commitment here. Don't tell why we were here. We will deal kindly with you when the Lord hath given us. I don't know if you caught that in verse 14. And the men answered out, our life for yours, if we utter not this our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land. What are they showing? Faith, right? They're saying, hey, God's given it to us. When it's done, we'll do kindly and truly with thee. We know God's going to do it. We know it's already good as done. When that happens, we will deal kindly with you. Verse 15, and then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. So there's that whole good location theory thing there where she just, you know, let them out the window. Verse 16, and she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. So what does she tell? She says, go hide for 3 days. When the pursuers are gone, go back home. You'll be fine. I think there's a lot there that we can overlook where she's like, just go hide, 3 days. She had some insight to her military was going to operate there. So she told them specific details. Hey, go hide here. Wait 3 days. You'll be safe. Go back home. You're fine. But they had to have faith to trust her too. There's kind of a theme of faith going on. Verses 17 through 19. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be upon our head, if any hand be upon him. So they're taking some weight here. They say, if you keep the conditions, anything that happens, their blood is upon us. If you don't, we are blameless, we are guiltless. So these two spies are taking a lot of weight because there was going to be a lot of the nation of Israel going to attack, and they had to make sure everybody knew, hey, if you see that cord, don't touch them because their blood was upon their hands. So that would have been the first thing I was doing when I went back is, hey, if you see a cord, don't hurt those people. Verse 20, and if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. So if you give us up, the deal is off. That's what they're saying. Verse 21, and she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. She didn't waste any time. She put it up right away. Verse 22, and they went and came unto the mountain and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the bad guys are looking real, real closely. They want these spies. They're already scared to death that this nation is going to overtake them. Now there's some spies that they could catch and take care of, at least wipe out that intel that they would have. So they're working hard looking for these guys. They can't find them. Verse 23 and 24. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. I bet Joshua said, whew, I'm glad that's a report you brought back. But they give a good report. The whole thought that I want to look at through this, I'm almost done actually, that I want us to see through this passage, through these 24 verses, is I wrote it down, crazy faith. Think about all the people involved in this whole story. Story we know, story we're familiar. Let's look at their faith. Because the spies had faith just to be a spy. That's a risky business. You're sneaking into a territory where people don't like you so much. But they trusted God to protect them. They had that going in, or they would have never, I'll be a spy. They had that faith going in. Rahab could have betrayed them, right? That's an option. She could have probably got bumped up the social ladder if she would have said, hey, King, I got these guys. They're hiding under some sticks on my roof. Come get them. That might have helped her a lot. Temporarily. But they trusted that Rahab would take care of them. They trusted God to give them the land. And that's a big part. Because they trusted God was going to give them this land before he even did it. They just said, hey, when God gives us the land. And we kind of looked at that already. But we can see the spies. We can see their crazy faith. Then Rahab. She had faith too. She believed in God. She believed all the stories she had heard of him. She believed how powerful that he was. But she put her faith in a God she had only heard stories about coming into the city. The children of Israel, they had the wonderful privilege of walking across the dry land, of seeing the cloud fall, seeing God give them manna every day, seeing water come out of all these miracles. They had the privilege of seeing on a firsthand basis. They still doubted God a lot. Rahab didn't see that stuff. She heard about that stuff. And her faith caused her to risk her life for God, her house, her... I don't know what happens if you harbor spies back then. Her life was probably in danger. Her faith was so great that it put her in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, the hall of faith. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. She had crazy faith, and she wound up in Hebrews 11. They stepped up, they trusted in God in ways that we could say, that's crazy. That's crazy to trust God like that. We've seen Him do things in our life. We've heard stories He's done. And to look at these people's faith, we can say, wow, that's awesome faith. Faith sometimes looks crazy, and faith sometimes seems crazy. Which, if you've been in those situations, sometimes you're really stepping out there to trust in God. But we have that confidence in Him, in knowing what He can do, what He has done. We can't see what is going to happen. We are trusting what God has said and done in the past. Then Hebrews 11:1, faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we have the evidence that God has done stuff. We can't see God, but we have seen Him work, and we can put our confidence, our trust in Him. Faith might look crazy, but it's always the best option. Amen. I don't know how many times my faith has wavered on certain things, and I try to fix something. It usually doesn't work out so well. Usually a mess. But trusting in God, trusting in His sovereignty, is always the best option. We must have faith. We must trust God with the details of our life. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Faith has to be a huge part of our lives, whether it seems crazy or not. It's a very safe place to put our faith in God. We know this stuff, right? Ever been to church before where they talked about faith, how important faith is? I've heard that since I was in the nursery. Faith is a big part. We have to have faith. We know. We've hundreds of messages on faith. But when is the last time that we actually exercised crazy faith? The last time we actually said, okay, God, here you go. It's all you. Everybody thinks I'm crazy. I think I'm crazy. But I'm trusting in you. Here's what I don't want to be. I don't want to be the church that knows the right answers but never practices them. I don't want that. I don't want to be the Christian that knows but never does. I don't want to be guilty of that. God, I knew all the right answers. Sorry. I didn't want to do them. I don't want to be that. Let's make sure we are doing what Christ wants us to do and have the faith to trust Him to take care of us. That's important. We know He's in control. Let's trust Him. And then I want you to think of this thought. Faith is not necessarily sitting back and trusting. Faith is obeying and trusting. We walk, that's a verb, by faith. So sometimes there's action that go with our faith. Because sometimes we want to sit in a chair and say, okay, God, make my life perfect. Make my life work out. But don't you think God wants us to walk by faith, to exercise that, to walk that out, to live that out? He says, "For we walk by faith." The spies had to exercise their faith. They actually had to go into the land, right? They didn't just say, oh God, I'll sit here, you show me what the land is like. They actually had to go into the land. Rahab, she stated all she believed about God, but she still exercised that faith by allowing the spies to come in, by hiding them, by protecting them. How about the disciples? Sometimes Jesus had them, or they had to do stuff to exercise their faith. Like, bring me the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Go hand this food out. It seems impossible. I'm going to break this up. You go pass it out. Then they're gathering stuff up at the end. There was a walk to their faith. They didn't just sit down and say, hey, God, feed all these people. How about when he called them to follow me? When Jesus said that to them. They were making money. They were fishermen, a lot of them. Jesus says, hey, put down your nets. Follow me. There's some faith there because that just went your livelihood. They're following Jesus. How about some people that were healed? Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. I can't do that, Jesus. I'm crippled. I can't take up my bed and walk. What'd they do? Took up their bed and walked. They acted out what God had told them to do. They exercised that faith. How about the water into wine? Jesus said, fill these water pots with water. What does he do? Then he does the miracle. They could have left the water pots empty and said, just do it, Jesus. We know you're God. But there was some exercise of their faith. They had to actually take some steps and walk. Let's exercise some crazy faith this week. Let's be more than having the right answers or what we think are the right answers. Let's be more than that. We know we have a great God. We know we have a God we can trust in. We know we have a God we can rely on. So let's exercise some crazy faith this week. Let's see what that looks like. God is good. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for the stories of the Old Testament. They encourage me. They challenge me. They put me in my place. They show me what I need to be doing. I thank you for preserving those stories for us. Thank you for the examples that you have given us in the past to lead us in the future. Please help us to have the faith in you like we should, to trust in you like we should. Please guide us. Please direct us as individuals. Please guide us as a church. Please show us your path for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.